This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And thank you for joining us on Davidic Wisdom. I'd like to talk to you on the platform of mitigation of the miseries of life. Now, we've spoken before, many a time, I think, on our program, about how the living entity is different from the body. And most of the sufferings that the living entity experiences is due to the body. So it's body and mind, other living entities upon you, body and mind, and natural influences and occurrences upon you, body and mind. So since the living entity is different from the body, the living entity is eternal and the body is temporary. We transmigrate body to body to body according to the quality of our work. And we get a particular body that fulfills the series of desires. But in general, the sufferings that the body experiences are superfluous to thus the living entity. We suffer them, we experience them, but they're temporary and they're superfluous. They're not actually damaging the soul. It's not good to suffer, it's good to have enjoyment. That we understand by sensation. But neither one of them, the enjoying nor the suffering, is a permanent impact upon the living soul, us, the spiritual being. It's imposed upon us by nature as an experience, both good and bad. But the Vedic literature describes it as superfluous. It's not actually at the root of our existence and our duty or responsibility as a living being. So, how does one mitigate these sufferings? It's given in the Vedic literature that the process for mitigating these sufferings is called yoga. Now, not the yoga where you go stretch your back and leg and arm. Bhakti yoga, where one exercises love and devotion in service. That yoga word means to link. So link means you, one personality, linking with someone else, the other personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So the bhakti yoga is work in love and devotion to Krishna. And that is called, in the Vedic literature, devotional service to the Supreme. Now, this devotional process of linking you and I as living conscious beings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as a supreme conscious being, is the method that mitigates the anxieties and sufferings of the material existence. But the mass of people don't know this. Therefore, the Vedic literature was written. Now, the Vedic literature was compiled by the incarnation Śrīla Vyāsadeva, an incarnation of God specifically for compiling the Vedic knowledge without adulteration. Seeing to it personally, the Lord actually incarnated as the saint Vyāsadeva and wrote the Vedic literature purely such that it would not be misinterpreted and it would stand the test of time and it would be complete. So that Vedic literature teaches us our relationship with the Supreme, such that we can execute bhakti yoga. You can't serve and love and be devoted to someone if you have no knowledge of them. This is what we see in most religions. They say God, the Supreme Person, and that's all they got. And serving them and loving them and in relationship with them generally gets frustrated at, God, I need this, please help me there, I want that. Show me what to do. Fix this for me. What am I going to do now? And that's not described as devotional service. That's the preliminaries to devotional service. The Vedic literature also further subdivides that into awe and veneration. God is great and I am simple. Let me relate to him as the greatest and ask support, guidance, benefit, etc. Then the next platform is love and devotion. Not awe and veneration, oh my God, but love and devotion. service, caring. What does the Lord want? What is happening? What can I do? How do I participate? Where do I fit in? How can I make the Lord see this service sign? How can I make him recognize I'm sincerely trying to become his sincere servant? Devotion. And that devotion, it gets reciprocated. The Lord has his own free will, just like you do. And the Vedic literature teaches us that the great science of bhakti yoga begins with hearing and chanting. You hear about the Lord and you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and hear the mantra vibration. And that begins the process of elevating yourself to understanding the Lord's name, fame, glories, qualities, pastimes, and characteristics. And the revival of the dormant relationship, the affectionate relationship between you, the living person, and the Lord, the Supreme Person. Now, we've covered this many times on our program before. There is an eternal Lord and there is an eternal person, you. There must be an eternal relationship. And that relationship is either based on illusion, where I'm telling the Lord what I want or what I'm going to do or refusing to do what he wants me to do. Or there's a relationship built on the facts, and the Lord is great and I am his servant, and let me serve you excellently. So to revive that dormant affection within the devotional service process is the right way. It is not dependent on the mechanical hearing and chanting. It's dependent upon the sincerity and devotion within the individual. And when the Lord's satisfied with the sincere efforts of the individual, he may, using his free will, he may not, he can choose to award him with transcendental loving devotional service, the goal of bhakti yoga. But the whole system of raising oneself out of the sufferings of material life, to mitigate the sufferings of material existence, is not dependent upon the chanting and hearing process. It is dependent upon the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he sees that you are sincere by hearing and chanting, by reading and understanding your position, his position, and reviving the relationship, the dormant relationship, and reviving in that relationship the dormant affection, the Lord then decides, are you ready? Are you not ready? Can I give you this service and you receive it properly? Are you in the right state of consciousness? Have you achieved the proper perspective? But it's the Lord's choice. He is the independent supreme controller. And he can see whether you are on that platform or you're faking or you're just striving or you're still not quite, whatever. So this is how one gets liberated from the sufferings. And the sufferings are mitigated by knowledge of the Supreme Personality. And knowledge is not dependent. You do not have to you have to develop knowledge to be able to get away from the sufferings. But you can start acquiring knowledge even before the sufferings have ceased. So knowledge is dependent upon the service attitude and the causeless mercy of the Lord. And that stimulates the intention within the Lord to liberate you and mitigate all of the sufferings. So as we've said to you before, the process of devotional service is the indirect process that gives you the goal you're looking for. But we're all misinformed and we're trying to get it directly. And this is why you have people say, oh, you're dependent upon religion. You're using religion as a crutch. Because they see you trying to achieve something that they don't understand. Now, they think that you only get something by your own hard labor. If you're not working hard, you are not gaining anything that matters. But those hard workers, they gain material benediction. And those who work in devotion to the Lord, they give up any affection or attraction for material benediction. It isn't of interest. Their interest and concern is seeing that the Lord is satisfied with your service. He had a desire for something. He asked you to render that service. You completed that service so nicely, he's pleased. He then decides, if he chooses, to benedict you. Your benediction, the benediction you receive from the Lord can far outstretch anything the individual, you, can earn by your hard labor. Because you're limited with potency and capacity, and the Lord is unlimited in potency and capacity. If he's pleased with you, he can do anything to reward you. But if you stay on what you are capable of achieving and earning, you can only do according to the capacity of your bodily potency. And that could take a long, long time for you to come to the platform of achieving something you truly want, truly need, truly deserve. So you can take the direct method, like the materialists do, earn it yourself, work forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and you get it just in time to die. Or you can say, I don't care about that anymore. If the Lord gives it to me, I will accept it. And if he doesn't give it to me, I don't need it. But what I need now is, I need to see that I'm rendering service to the Lord in loving devotion, bhakti yoga. And my devotional service is so clean, accurate, sincere, complete, that the Lord goes, this person is actually my devotee. This person is selflessly trying to see to what I want. And he rewards you. He can reward you at any level he chooses, way beyond any level you could possibly achieve. Or maybe not. He will read your heart. He will notice all of the conditions and terms and circumstances and devotion you put into the devotional service he's assigned you. So we have to take the responsibility of using our free will to engage in bhakti yoga, devotional service to the Supreme. And we get the seed of bhakti sown in the heart by the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. We have to meet a disciple of the spiritual master. The disciple of the spiritual master introduces you to him. The spiritual master allows you to question him and replies to you according to your sincerity and reveals knowledge to you that is fully and wholly beneficial to you at the platform of consciousness that you approach him with. And he gives you guidance and instruction and engagement such that you start bhakti yoga, you start devotional service under the spiritual master's instruction. You may start at the most primitive level. You may start at a significant level. You may start at a relatively advanced level. But that's the spiritual master's prerogative. By understanding your sincerity, your position of conscious development, and he awards you, by instruction, the right place to start, the right type of engagement, such that you begin on a uplifting path of devotional service that is fulfilling to you. This is the wonderful thing in devotional service. You're doing something for someone else, but you feel inside a greater reward than if you endeavor to do it yourself, earn something for yourself. It's called transcendental, beyond the material modes of nature, which is cause and effect, endeavor and return. You get outside of this rigid structure, because devotional service is outside of the rigid structure. It's outside the control of nature. Similarly, the spiritual master is outside of the control of nature. He is a direct empowered servant of the Lord. He is on a path of delivering devotional service as is earned by the prospective disciple. Similarly, the Vedic literature is outside of the control of the material elements. The Vedic literature, as I said earlier, is compiled by the Supreme Lord in his incarnation as the sage Vasudeva, written down specifically to give it to you without adulteration, so that any question you ask, you get the answer. And it builds a new perspective of reality for you. You understand the indirect method of devotional service, where one selflessly executes service for the satisfaction of the Lord, is actually the most direct yield. Lasting, eternal, permanent, transcendental advancement of the consciousness of the living being. The attachment for the material world fades. And the attachment for spiritual activities grows proportionately. So the spiritual master, with his self-realized knowledge, wisdom, vision, intuitive understanding, looks at you, listens to you, instructs you, and allows you to inquire from him. And by this exchange, he understands, this person is at this level, let me engage him right there, that will advance him. And as you advance, your service becomes better. The spiritual master observes that, increases the assignment. This person's proven responsible. Let me give him more responsible service to do. And he does more responsible service. The spiritual master becomes pleased. This is good. This person is actually understanding. He's developing the right mentality. He's producing valid, significant service. He is in transcendental consciousness. And he gives you more responsible service, more in type and more in quantity. Gradually, your life becomes absorbed in devotional service to the Lord. Material activities, I don't really have time anymore. I don't really care. I take care of my body, and I take care of my responsibilities, and all the rest of my life and time is rendering devotional service and developing my devotional attitude such that the spiritual master becomes more and more and more pleased. There is a very famous and often quoted verse in the Vedic literature that says, without the grace of the spiritual master, no one can make any advancement. That by the grace of the spiritual master, one gets awarded devotional service. And by that devotional service, the spiritual master becomes pleased. And when the spiritual master is pleased, the disciple makes significant advancement in the eyes of the Lord. We don't directly approach the Lord, "Hi, God, I'm your number one guy. I'm a new man. Hire me. Put me in place. I'm a manager." We approach the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the empowered, transparent via media under a direct instruction and direct communication with the Lord, and he is bringing you to the platform that you're qualified. And that qualification starts with serving, surrendering, inquiring, listening, following the spiritual master, and pleasing him by your activities and attitude. When the spiritual master is pleased, then the Lord is pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, he makes significant advancement. The Lord can award the disciple at any level he sees fit. He empowers the spiritual master to further empower the disciple. And he rewards the disciple. He protects the disciple. He guides. He instructs. He illuminates out of his causeless mercy. No give and take, no business here. You do this selflessly without expectation of return. That's devotional service. And yet when the Lord sees these qualities and sees the commitment and selflessness, that's what makes him willing to reward the disciple. Similarly, the same thing with the spiritual master. That makes him willing to award you more service, more enlightenment, more knowledge, more support, more encouragement. The encouragement comes by association of more disciples, more advanced disciples. So the process becomes one of advancing one another by good association, pleasing the spiritual master by devotional attitude, and achieving the acknowledgement of the Lord for sincere service rendered selflessly. This is the process of bhakti yoga. This is a yoga science. This is above the material elements, material modes of nature. This is above selfishness. This is above doing it for yourself. This is seeing to the satisfaction of the Lord, seeing to the pleasure of the spiritual master. This makes life work. This liberates one from the superfluous problems, happiness and distress that impact on the living entities in material consciousness. This linking process, it mitigates these sufferings. It frees one from confusion, doubt, fear, anger, envy, lust. Wow. Say that again. Wow. How are you, I ask you, how are you going to free yourself from those ingredients? How would you do it? Everybody's struggling with anger. Everybody's struggling with frustration and fear. Let alone lust, greed, anger, and envy. Selfishness. So the potency in this devotional service is substantial. And the potency in the Vedic literature and the instructions of the spiritual master are astonishing. And the result is exactly what you're looking for. The mitigation of the suffering and struggle for existence. The stopping the cycle of birth and death where you're forced to get old and diseased and die. To put your eternal consciousness into eternal service for the satisfaction of the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead. This takes you outside of these temporary, superfluous sufferings of happiness and distress, heat and cold, light and dark, right and wrong, good and bad, all of those things fall away. This is the boon, this is the benefit, this is the height of devotional service. So you become qualified to return to the spiritual world and enter into and render unending selfless devotional service in the association of realized souls and for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of God and Sri Krishna face to face eternally. No future goal to try to achieve. Completely selflessly engaged and completely cared for, encouraged, supported, maintained, and loved. The dormant affection between you and the Supreme Lord flourish, grow and blossom like a rosebud. This is what happens when the living entity follows the instructions in the Vedic literature, accepts the bona fide spiritual master, surrenders and serves him, and lifts oneself to that higher standard of understanding. This is the great boon that is contained in the Vedic literature, in the devotional process, in this Hare Krishna movement. This is the platform that is eternal. It is called Bhakti Yoga, transcendental loving devotional service to the Supreme, executed selflessly, endlessly. This is where true happiness, true fulfillment, mitigation of the anxieties and sufferings of all varieties takes place. This is normal. This is where we're supposed to be, all of us, in the human form of life. This is our goal. This is the platform of reality. Over the misconception platforms we're looking at, we see, and we're suffering from. So accept this hearing and chanting. Hear the Vedic literature by reading. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That will get you back home, back to Godhead, through the process of devotional service.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.